getting to the point, but taking the scenic route to get there. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
I'm Mike Hebert, owner of Cantex Roofing and Construction. Every day is game day, and we'll get it right when it comes to your roofing, construction, windows, and mirrors. Call Cantex Roofing and Construction today. Together, we are one serving you.
It is the Bottom Line of 100.7 The Score and 107thescore.com. Clint Scott, Chris Snee, Ben Poorman behind the glass taking care of us, learning away back there. Brendan Riker watching over like a helpful hawk, which kind of sounds like a children's character out loud. You can hit us up on the 8th Flooring Center chat line. We're live from the First United Bank Studio. 30 more minutes for hour number one. We'll have a money play of the day here in just a moment. 12:45. It is Kaylee's Daily. So I just wanted to, I guess, round out the thoughts on what we were talking about with conference realignment. So, I mean, if you're a coach for one of the non-money driving sports, if you're an athlete for one of the non-money driving sports, in reality, you're in this discussion, depending on how you view it, you're in an unwinnable situation, right? Because if football is the driver, which it is, mm-hmm. big time, no doubt, I mean, there's no argument against that, and you are a program that is benefiting from that, this is where it's unwinnable, because you want more money in the school, right? If you're mm-hmm. a president, you want more money in the school. If you're an athletic director, you want more money in the school. If you're a coach, you want more money in the school.
Let me amend what you said right there. If you're an athletic director, a president, or a coach, you need more money
okay.
in the school.
Yeah.
It's not, of course, we all want it, but you need it because you're all mm-hmm. trying to chase, you know, it's, you know, athletics. You know, you got to do what Alabama's doing. You got to do what Texas is doing. You got to do what Oklahoma's doing. Do we want to tear down our 10-year-old, absolutely wonderful football building and rebuild it with another one? No, we have to, because that's what Texas is mm-hmm. doing. That's what Oklahoma's doing.
And I understand, like, there are legitimate, when you look at the travel-based portion of this, there are going to be legitimate issues, a bunch, especially as you figure it out for teams that are going to have to go commercial, or sports. Let me say sports, not teams. Sports that are going to have to go commercial. And that's just the way it is.
And this is not new. I've been traveling mm-hmm. commercial to go coast to coast to referee football for close to two decades. Mm-hmm. It's amazing how many sports teams I come across in the airport. I mean, it is absolutely amazing. I mean, Division I basketball teams. I see a lot of Division I volleyball teams. Division I track teams, mm-hmm. all, you know, going coast to coast. A lot of Pac-12 teams in the airport at mm-hmm. DFW going somewhere.
Yeah. So here's the unwinnable situation. Do you, which I think you know what the right answer is, but it's just something that you just have to deal with. Do you get drug along and go to the, like, and this is driven around the Pac-12 schools going to the Big Ten. This is the big conversation piece. But I mean, like, if you see an Arizona-UCF matchup in the Big 12, that's going to be a mm-hmm. bunch of travel, all that. I get that, but it's driven around the Pac-12 schools that went to the Big 10, right? The unwinnable situation is, okay, well, do you get drug along? Do you stay in a relevant conference? Do you make more money as a university from football? Or do you disband and eventually let that infighting go and your program suffers because you didn't train long? There's no right answer. There's not a solution from that perspective,
no,
right? And I get
really
that.
Isn't.
And I'm not trying to say that I got a blind eye to it.
Yeah, and you know, hey, these programs are also enjoying, you know, the training table. Hey, softball and volleyball player. Hey, men's tennis player. You're griping about going to having to go cross country. Did you like that training table they were providing for you? How do you mm-hmm. think they got that training table? Where do you think that training table came from? Hey, all that fancy equipment that you guys got, all that fancy practice facility that you guys are working on, mm-hmm. all these things that you guys have, where do you think that came from? You think that the PSLs that are selling for tennis are doing that? Mm-hmm. And I'm not knocking tennis or anything like that. I'm just using it as an example. But I mean, very few sports that are not football or basketball even pay for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Not let alone are a drag. I mean, and this is not just Texas Tech. It's across the country.
Yeah.
Texas Tech, you've got a, you know, you've sold out your basketball, men's basketball season tickets. You sold out baseball tickets for the last couple of years. I would bet if I were to call up Jonathan Boutros right now, he would tell me, yeah, baseball's losing money. But I mean, if at the very best, on the very best day for Texas Tech baseball, it's probably just paying for itself. Mm-hmm. On its very best day.
So here's my question. I want you to look into the crystal ball over there for Snead. Mm-hmm. Let's go 5 years in the future as we look. Because at this point, this will have, with the 5 years, this portion will have either been figured out on that spectrum, or you will be at the infighting and serious talks of trying to branch away with college football. It's college football and college athletics, and that's the separation. Is this something that gets figured out, or do you see a world of infighting in their own programs or sport to sport?
Oh, I think fighting? I think there's going to be a little bit of that to start, and I think that I don't know if athletic directors or somebody's going to make it. The dollars are going to be pointed out to them. And it's like, oh, you don't want to do that? Okay, well, here, I tell you what we'll do. We'll turn this down. We'll go to the Mountain West. Actually, I tell you what. You don't want to go do this. Why don't you call up your buddies that are playing at Oregon State and Washington State? See how they're feeling right about now.
Yeah.
You think they would be willing to get on that plane and go across country and play that Tuesday at Rutgers? Bet you they would. Because right now, they're looking at getting on a plane or a bus probably and driving over to Orem, Utah to play Utah State.
Mm-hmm. the athletic directors kind of have to play like a dad role. Just a comical situation in my head. But, I mean, he's not wrong.
And at the end of the day, I think Chip Kelly's not wrong. I don't think he's right. What do I think's eventually going to happen here? I think we're going to either see two conferences of 30 each, or you're going to see three conferences of 20 each. One or the other. But I think that number of 60 is the right number.
Because that was the other portion of what Chip Kelly... Because like the first part of what Chip Kelly was saying originally was that, like, hey, why doesn't football break away? And then the other part was another step, which is a different discussion, like, hey, in the 64, however many Power 5 teams, however you view it, this is a division, big playoff, essentially, and then you're all working as independents. And then group of five, you're your own league. So there's basically a League A and League B.
Yeah, I think that's interesting. I mean, the problem is everyone wants to get these giant super conferences together. And I keep saying this over and over. When you get all these great teams together in one conference, I don't care how great they are in the conferences they are right now, someone's going to have to be Vanderbilt. At the end of the day, someone has to be the 0-12 team. So I don't care. You can put Michigan and Florida State, Miami and North Carolina and Virginia and Virginia Tech and Alabama and all these schools all in one conference. Somebody's still going to be Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
Because they're not all going to go 12-0.
Right.
I mean,
the Rutgers.
Everyone thinks they're all going to show up there and they're all going to be Alabama, but someone's going to be Rutgers. Exactly right.
All the four. That's what all of the four newbies. Well, I say four.
They all
four,
think
and like, hey, don't be that. And to be fair, UCF I think is going to be from a football perspective fairly respected.
Middle of the pack team.
BYU.
Middle of the pack team.
A little bit of certainly some respect for what they have done and who they are coming in, and then with like a Houston and essentially what Cincinnati is right now, at least if not worst. And you're going okay. And I for Cincinnati. I'm not like concerned for them, but my worry for them. Is as you again, and you're going to take that money all day long. You're going to take that step up in conference play all day long. But my worry for Cincinnati is you were looking at who could be that.
Oh,
who
I think Cincinnati is 100% on the way to Rutgersville.
And again, do they care?
No. They're going to get that $50 million. Give me that $50 million.
Yeah, and they could get
money.
They could just get consistently waxed over the next 4 or 5 years, and they'd look back and go, "Worth it."
You see Don Cheadle in Ocean's 13 playing the pay me my money in cash. That's my models right there, man.
When we come back, we'll get some of your thoughts off the Utes 400 Center chat line, play some cleanup there, also have a play of the day, and Wednesday edition of Kaylee's Dailies. Get you some animal facts. It is the Bottom Line, 100.7 The Score, 107thescore.com. Appreciate you hanging out with us. Keep it right here. Back with more next.
Getting to the point, but taking the scenic route to get there. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Clint Scott, Jamie Lint. Coach Brennan told us if one of us fights, we all fight. So we're listening to him. Coach B-Dog.
B-Dog.
Coach B-Dog. It's like call him. Hey, can you put his hat back on? Live from the First United Bank Studio. Take us anywhere. And I do mean anywhere, any situation with the mobile app brought to you by Happy State Bank. We want to be a part, every part of your life.
Take us all the way to the grave. We want to be there.
We're like one of those companies that are like, oh, when this happens, we're there. We're like an insurance company. That's what it is. Yeah. Tree falls on your car somehow. We're there.
When Clint talks, people listen.
What? Let's go to.
I'm just gonna accept what Clint says. We're gonna move on.
That's how I know I've had a good day when I hear that. When it doesn't matter what I say, you just accept it and move on. You can hit us up on the Utes 400 Center chat line. Thoughts, comments, questions, reactions. I want to go to some Big 12 talk, Jamie. What? 17 days out from Red Raider football starting. I think I have that math right.
I'll give it to you.
They're against Wyoming in Laramie. I'm just curious your thoughts on this. I'm going to give you three categories to label teams, players, coaches, whichever route you want to go. Okay? I'm going to give you three. I want you to decide who has...
Whiny, putsy, and annoying.
Larry Curly Moe.
Okay. Sorry.
Who has won, first one, who has the most to gain this year only in the Big 12, who has the most to lose... And who was already playing with house money, regardless of how the season shapes out?
Clint's question of the day. Who has the most lose? Most to lose are the Longhorns and the Sooners. If they don't play well and finish inside the top four in this conference, people are going to think, oh, and you're going to go to the SEC?
Yeah.
Yeah, so to me, they have to finish in the top two or three, or it's kind of a bad look for them.
Okay, how about to gain?
The most to gain. I'm going to go UCF and the University of Houston.
Okay, yeah.
Because those are two places that have... been begging for a respect. And if they are, finishing the top six in the Big 12 conference, I think they will have earned some.
Yeah, that's especially for Houston. That's a big, I think it's a slightly bigger win for Houston than it is for UCF, because I think UCF on their own laurels are coming in with a little bit more expectation. But either one, though, to actually do that, I think would be slightly eye-opening. But I think you could say that about any of the newbies if they were to finish sixth or higher or in that range. Okay, house money. Who's playing with house money?
TCU.
Yeah.
I mean, they played in the national championship game last year, even if they stumbled to a 7-5, 6-6 season. Okay, you're still going, we still had that magical season. It's still a honeymoon period for Sonny Dykes and honeymoon. That's a place you can take the mobile app. Can take us with you there.
Somebody play some saxophone as a bumper.
So I feel like, I feel like they're playing with house money.
So... two that we have shared on this. One, for house money, I went in specifically for Sonny Dykes, but same thing. Sonny Dykes for TCU, because in year one, how much equity did he already build?
Sure.
Right? Like, you want to go job security, hot seat conversation. I feel like you could have a two-win season there I don't expect this. But you could have a two-win season there at TCU, go horribly wrong. The fans wouldn't be just like, oh, yeah, we're so excited about this. Remember that national championship appearance? But the job security wouldn't be up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that would still be there for Sonny Dykes and would for sure have a year three. So absolutely, completely agree with that.
Now, the rest of the conference would be going, see, told you so. I told you that was a fluke.
Yeah, you had 10 games last year decided by one score, and you won them all. You had 10 games this year, and you lost them all. Take that.
Yikes.
Yeah. The other house money one I went was with Kansas. And the reason I went house money for them is, one, you got a little bit of hype from individual players. You just had the – whether you thought it looked dumb or you loved it or didn't care about it, you just have the new stadium unveiling at $350 million invested. Feel like you absolutely have the right guy. But if you realistically, that team could still win five games and that program would be in love with Lance Leipold, as they should.
Okay.
So I think they're playing with house money.
If I agree with Clint here, that continues the conversation about Kansas. So I'm just going to not talk and we move on.
Oh, I'm moving on. Because the next one I agreed with was
no,
to lose.
I think you make a good point there. I really do. I actually thought about saying them.
Yeah. To lose, I mean, I think the conversation, to me, starts actually with a lower-end school, and it's specifically Neil Brown, just because I think his job is up for grabs, and so you have to be on fire, and I don't expect that. It's like an easy wounded pick there, but...
He has to be on fire? Like, how many does he have to win? You don't think a 7-5 keeps his job?
He's got to be on fire to start the year because those are games that they're playing where you were staring down the barrel of a Pittsburgh and Penn State that you are going to have to play so well to beat both of those teams, and you're already going to be starting behind the eight ball. And so it's not, to me, the question of how many can you win in a season. It's how many can you win before, like, week six, because I think that is an early exit type situation for West Virginia, and that's becoming – the norm, and you're seeing some benefits from it. At least you saw that around here, right, with Joey McGuire. Mm-hmm. When you have those extra weeks around the program, we'll see what happens, because another example there, Wisconsin fires their coach early. We'll see if it's a benefit to Luke Fickell or not. I think that is the trend you are going to start seeing. So if it's not going well early for West Virginia, I don't see why that would be a different situation.
Yeah.
And then Texas, completely agree. I mean, Oklahoma in there as well, too. But I look at, like, Steve Sarkisian and Quinn Ewers specifically, because you talk about if things go bad, first look at Sark, right? All of a sudden you have very, I guess, a lot of angst over there with those Texas Longhorn donors going, is this really the right guy as we go into the SEC? Quinn Ewers, your, for some reason, hype, your draft stock, your Heisman talk, that plummets. Like, if you have a bad year, and let's say, like, Malik Murphy takes over for you, or Steve Sarkisian starts hearing the pull the red shirt, Arch Manning chance, and you don't even play the entire season, which, by the way, I do not think is out of the realm of possibility.
Really?
Yes. I have predicted that Quinn Ewers will not start every game for the Longhorns.
Not because of injury, but because of...
Yes, play. Play, because they're going to have to make a switch somewhere to elevate up to the rest of the talent that they have. If that happens, I mean, all of a sudden you're not just like having draft talks. You're Quinn Ewers with what, 1-2 years of eligibility going over to SMU or following that route over at a different school and another transfer. Like, that is big time to lose. It is the, for Texas, the Big 12 championship, at least playing in it or bust feel, I think is 100% real for that program. And what they feel they're going to have in their season, or should have in their season. To gain, I went with a different one. I went BYU in this.
Okay.
I went to BYU and Texas Tech are my to gain. Because it feels like with Texas Tech, I think you should be excited and feel good about a year if you end up going like 8-4. Or even if you go 7-5, because still, I mean, how many back-to-back years have you had like that recently? Sure. Not a lot. Now, I get in the moment you can go disappointed, whatever, but I don't think that, you went 7-5. I think that would be silly. But also, I'm not going to be shocked if you end up in Arlington, right? Like, I think that there is a ton to gain for Texas Tech, and the same thing for BYU, because expectations for them coming in year one aren't that great. But you look at, like, they've got Southern Utah, Sam Houston, Cincinnati, West Virginia, Iowa State, all winnable games for them, and that's five. And then added on to that, they play Kansas. They play Oklahoma State. Those could be toss-ups. And then Tech and Oklahoma have to go to Provo, which isn't just easy. Like, what if they have a seven-win season? What if they're in that same conversation that you brought up with the sixth range finishing in the Big 12?
Bringing you the truth, or something like the truth, this is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
It is the Bottom Line, 100.7 The Score, 107thescore.com. Jamie went for tape versus tape winner today. I'm Scott here. Brendan Riker behind the glass taking care of us. 5-10 tonight here on The Score. Astros at Marlins. That game or series will be concluded tonight with a rubber match as the Astros try to take it. Bounce back last night. 6-5 win. Three home runs of the team. Kyle Tucker with a solo shot in the seventh inning to break a 5-5 tie. 6:30 over on Double T 97.3. The Rangers go for the sweep. The Los Angeles Angels. They won 7-3 yesterday. Corey Seager with a couple of shots, 5 RBI.
Hey, a big game. Yeah. Big game. He is swinging it well.
He's swinging it well.
If he, feel like if he hadn't gotten hurt, he might be like, and he still may be in the conversation, but it feels like he'd be the leading candidate for MVP.
I think that's a good point. And there's what, like 35 and 40 games, whatever's left there on the schedule. Like, that's enough time still with as good as he was at the start, with as much time that he could lock that in if he played really well. It's not like that would be out of the question. But to your point, yeah, I mean, if he doesn't get knocked out there and go on the IL there for a little bit, there's a great chance he's leading that solidly.
Yeah, it seems like he's missed time twice. Am I remembering that wrong? Seems like he's missed time for injury two times.
I'd have to go back and look.
Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah. But, you know, we talk about and have, you know, the, well, it's not about just how good you are as a team, because there's a lot of good teams in the MLB. It's how well you're playing and when that time frame is. And clearly you want to be playing the best now as you get to that down stretch, down home stretch of the season going into the playoffs. And as of late, you've looked a lot more like you did early season Rangers, which is the best time to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt.
Let's get in a question of the day, shall we?
Time now for Jamie's question of the day.
Okay, so we are talking Big 12 football here. Okay. And just earlier today, we talked a little bit about expectations for some and where you feel like some teams are playing with house money and some teams have to excel to kind of come anywhere close to meeting the expectations, okay? So I want you to give me a team that you think will exceed the expectations, and I want you to give me a team that you feel like is going to come up short of what the national pundits or whatever feel like they're going to do. So one that you think will finish better and one that you think will finish worse.
I need to look back at what the official win projection is. I think it was at 7.5 for Oklahoma State. I think that's right. I think the Cowboys are just going to be a mess this year. I think that they're going to be in for a really bad year, possibly the first losing season for Gundy there at Oklahoma State. I think that that is a real possibility this year for the Cowpokes. And they lost a bunch, and a lot of the production is not returning there. And on top of it, I mean, they looked like a bottom two team in the conference last year in that last five-game stretch. I mean, completely fell apart, and that was before people started leaving, right? If anyone was going to bounce back from a year like that in an offseason, maybe it's Gundy from the coaches, just because he's been around there so long. He's been around the block a time or two there with Oklahoma State there in Stillwater. But I don't think Oklahoma State is going to have a good year at all. So okay. That'll be my...
So they were picked to finish seventh by the coaches in the poll.
I think they will not reach that. Yeah.
How far back do you think they go?
10th or higher.
Okay.
Give me 10th or higher.
Yeah, that's a significant drop.
Yeah. And then where was UCF picked?
UCF was picked 8th.
8th.
That's about where I see them.
Yeah. Because with the projections, I feel like everything was mostly in line how I saw it. So maybe because I don't think Texas wins the conference this year, but I think that they could be in Arlington. So I feel like that is still reaching sure. expectations. Mm-hmm. I'll stick with UCF. I think that they will finish at least 8th or higher. I think, like I've doubled down, I think they're going to be the best of the newbies. I feel really good about this in the future too. But I think UCF is getting the treatment of, well, this is an AAC team. Like they haven't played real competition, right? Mm-hmm. This is an American, and that's fair. And I do think that they will be much better early than they will be later. But I think UCF, if I had to pick a team, which again, I think most of the predictions were fairly in line with how I saw them. I think maybe UCF could surprise some people this year. Not win the conference, surprise people, but right. better than 8th,
right.
surprise people. Now that we were talking about earlier that, boy, what if one of the new ones finishes in 6th?
Yep.
Like, I'm not just going to completely put that past them.
I would guess of the new ones, UCF does finish the highest.
Yeah.
All right, Brennan.
I think a team that is going to exceed expectations is Baylor. I don't know if they have been given a lot of preseason love. I wouldn't be surprised if they're definitely a top five team in the Big 12. I know they're slotted at the finish 6th in the conference, but I can see them finishing ahead of a TCU and a Oklahoma if they keep flying under the radar. I think that's where Baylor would want to be, is a team that flies under the radar just based off how they performed last season. I think they're still a well-coached team and are still well-respected. I mean, that's a team that a lot of people, whenever Tech goes to Baylor, that kind of scares a lot of people when you see the word Waco. A team that is going to underperform, I wanted to take the low-hanging fruit of Texas, but instead I want to go with Oklahoma. I don't think Oklahoma, they'll be all right, but I don't think they're going to be a 9-win team in this conference this year.
Okay, I'm going to stick with Brennan here and say, as far as a disappointing team, Oklahoma picked to finish 3rd in the Big 12 conference by the coaches, I say they're 5th or worse.
Okay.
Yeah. So that could be just a game or two, but I think they don't finish inside the top 4. As one that I think has an opportunity to take a couple steps forward, a couple spots forward, I think it's BYU. Picked 11th mm-hmm. in the conference, and I think you could see them 8 or 9 somewhere in that area, depending on what others do. They're to me like one of the most confusing teams of the new teams, just because not sure what they're going to get. I feel confident in thinking West Virginia is going to be bad and Iowa State's going to be bad and Houston and Cincinnati, but I just don't know about BYU.
So you both brought up two teams that I use confusing around, and BYU's one
uh-huh.
Where I agree. I think that they could finish better than that.
Mm-hmm.
I also think the same thing about Baylor is a confusing team, but for a different that was one that I thought about the other direction, because mm-hmm. I think everyone in the conference has a high level respect for Dave Aranda.
Sure.
I don't think no one's looking for Dave Aranda. Maybe not as good of a coach as he was 2 years ago when they mm-hmm. win the conference and borderline steal a playoff berth from Oklahoma State.
Is it because of what he did with Baylor, or is it because he raised up Joey McGuire?
There you go. Fair question. But then you look at him last year, and just from a personnel standpoint, I think they ran off the wrong quarterback. I don't believe in Blake Chapin at all. Like, I think for the offense that you run, you have to have a bigger quarterback. And he's not bad. He just doesn't move the needle. And I don't think he's enough to go out and win games. Right? So I'm just confused.
On a separate note, just looking at it again, and I guess I had forgotten this, the Big 12 preseason poll, Oklahoma State, which was picked to finish seventh, got a first place vote.
That's right.
Who's voting for them?
It's a loon.
Who did that? It's a crazy what do you person. Know, old man?
It is. Maybe he's done by an Oklahoma guy as a joke, just so it would be like talking about that instead of him.
Maybe.
It's the bottom line, 100.7, the score.
Bringing you the truth, or something like the truth, this is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7, the score.
Hey, let's tell Brennan that he's wrong today, shall we?
You're wrong, Brennan.
Brennan has a chance to be rehired guy. Rehired, fired, intern like 10 times in a rotation over the last 6 months. He's really seen it all.
I've seen some stuff, man.
You've seen some
things. I've seen some stuff.
Clint Scott, Jamie Lint, Brennan Riker, Will Altmaier behind the glass. It's that time of day where we get the chance to tell Brennan that he's wrong. What are the likelihoods we tell you that you're wrong? How do you feel about your tell me I'm wrong statement today? Feel good? Feel confident?
One of y'all is going to tell me I'm wrong. At least one.
Okay. All right. Take it away.
All right. We go to Major League Baseball, and the focus is two teams that hail from the American League West. Neither the Texas Rangers nor the Houston Astros will make the World Series. Tell me I'm wrong.
It's a three-team race as far as I'm concerned. So basically, Brennan's saying Baltimore is greater than Texas/Houston.
Yeah, so
okay. I mean, maybe Tampa Bay. Okay, Baltimore, Tampa Bay greater than Houston, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say you're wrong. You are wrong! I said it twice.
You did.
Mm-hmm.
Like a call and effect. It's like a cave back there.
Yeah, yeah. I like the Rangers and Astros chances over the Orioles or Rays.
Okay. Well, this turns into like the question of like these two teams or the field. And if the field is really just 50% to me, which is what it is, I completely agree with you.
And if I was ranking them in order of odds that to make the playoffs, I would go, or to make the World Series, Astros 1, Rangers 2, Rays 3, Orioles 4.
I'll say you're wrong, too. I don't know if I have. Give me your rankings again. You just did.
Astros, Rangers, Rays, Orioles.
I think I would bump the Orioles up a little bit higher. I would. But it's not enough for me to go, it's not going to be either of the Texas teams. I really like their chances.
I like the rotations of the other three better than Baltimore's.
Okay. If it was just one of them, this would be a completely different conversation. But, I mean, that ups it a lot since I think both have a great shot, regardless of who wins the division, to make the World Series. So, I'll say you're wrong as well.
You are wrong!
You said it. You did it again. You were really excited to yell.
Jamie just loves yelling that I'm wrong. I can't explain it.
I can't. It's his life source. It's his power. He's rejuvenated from it.
Remember, Jamie, with great power comes great responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Uncle Ben. Hey, whatever you do, don't go pick up your nephew outside of a library or wherever they were.
As long as my nephew does not want to become Spider-Man, well, we are good.
Mm.
Or my son wants to become Batman, which I don't have a son nor a nephew, so far so good.
So if you, in the future,
if you have kids and you have a son, and he's like, you know, doing the, oh, you know, little Timmy, what do you want to be when you grow up? If he's like, I want to be Batman, you're going to be like, no, you're going to pick a different superhero that still has parents. You're going to steer him away from that?
Yes, absolutely.
Even
though Batman would probably be most realistic based off of lack of superpowers and... But yeah, we're going to be like, I don't know, pick Iron Man or something. But please, no Batman. I do not want to get murdered in an alley.
Yeah.
After watching a movie.
You have a lot of money before you got murdered.
Who does actually want to get murdered in an alley?
Not
there's
me.
Some things that probably can go unsaid.
There are...
Samesies.
There's somebody out there, Jamie, that is playing us... on the mobile app, brought to you by Happy State Bank, while in a very, very intense counseling session that's just like, hey, he was talking about me. I wanted to do that. So we need to call them out. Because we go everywhere with you.
We do.
Anywhere and everywhere.
Even if we shouldn't. Even if you should sometimes use better judgment.
This on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. I agree. I think it will be boom or bust for Ewers, and more likely bust if he struggles with accuracy like he did late last year and they lose games. He'll get benched. I wonder just, and this is where, like, everyone knows that Steve Sarkisian is under just an immense amount of pressure. That's part of what goes with that job, right? It's part of what goes with just being a head football coach in Division I in general, but especially like there are some programs that you can label a little bit higher with expectations, and Texas is one of those. And you add in that Texas hasn't reached those expectations, and you've gone through a Charlie Strong, you've gone through your boy now at FAU, Tom Herman, and you're trying to not be on that list. And then also with the recipe of pressure. You have the SEC, which, like, this is the one thing why I went player and coach over the whole team, because even if Texas doesn't succeed, they're still going to the SEC. They already, quote-unquote,
sure,
won that deal, right? But if Quinn Ewers falls out of favor, has a bad year, or if Steve Sarkisian and Texas, they underperform, and you do have those questions, and I do think that they will happen if you win just 8 games and you're looking at the high and mighty SEC, and that is the game you're playing if you're a Texas donor or if you're, you know, AD, all of that, if you're in the decision-making business over there, I think you will have those questions. And why wouldn't you want to start fresh? Why would you want to wait a year into the SEC? If you think that you don't have your guy, why would you wait?
It's a good question.
It's not like a buyout situation is going to be a problem for them.
As much as I would love everything that you guys are saying to be true, I think you guys are, I feel like you're more down on Ewers a lot more than I am. I expect a better season from Quinn Ewers this year. Number one, just because of experience. Number two, I mean, he's still, not that he didn't have a ton of talent around him last year, but he's still got a loaded roster. Okay. So that's going to help him. And number three, possibly the biggest thing, I think you guys are discounting the importance of a good haircut. Okay. I mean, you feel better, you look better, you play better. I mean, when I had the rat tail, Clint, I was a bad kid. Bad kid. Got
awesome
rid of
kid.
The rat tail. I've become a productive human being. Okay? You guys are discounting the importance of a good haircut. You go
good,
from
good,
that moment to anything. I don't care. Just shave it all off and you're going to play better.
That gave me less confidence in him, actually. They're like, I'm all business now. Okay, you cut your hair. All right. You're a business professional now. Mullet's gone. I'm taking it serious. I wasn't taking it serious before. Okay.
I hope you were saving all of that, Brandon.
I know you're joking, but I just thought, like, that was made as such a huge deal made out of it. Like, uh-oh, look out. Ewers cut his hair.
Wait a minute. I'm not joking. I'm all
forgot the
all seriousness here.
I forgot the love doctor doesn't joke when he's giving out advice. That's every answer. Like, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, maybe cut your hair.
It's a joke.
What?
It was a joke. Maybe cut your hair. Maybe that'll help your relationship.
There you go.
Maybe
that's what Tyler should have done, and he wouldn't be where he is now.
Hey,
at the counselor's office, Tyler, get a haircut.
Maybe wear tennis shoes when playing tennis and sneakers when you're sneaking around as a ninja or something. You know, let's be accurate with our shoes out there. Advice from the love doctor, Jamie Lynn.
Yes, and let's also make them match the uniform. Is that too much to ask?
And don't dress Boston in yellow. I don't care. I don't care about the City Connect. That's the bottom line, 100.7 the score. That one actually made you grumble a little bit. Back with more next.
Getting to the point, but taking the scenic route to get there. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Welcome back to the Bottom Line. You've got us on 100.7 The Score and 107thescore.com. Clint Scott, Love Dr. Jamie Lint, Will Altmeyer, and Brendan Riker taking care of us. It is a Viking Low Crouton BPE Goodwill Hunting edition here for you. 30 more minutes. At 3 o'clock, it is Tech Talk over on Double T 97.3. 3.5 hour Tech Talk as I take you up to Rangers baseball. That'll be at home against the Angels, going for a sweep. Astros in action here on the score at 5:10. Rubber match with the Marlins. You can hit us up on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Thoughts, comments, questions, reactions. I distracted myself. I didn't ever circle back, and I wanted to. So the Deion Sanders little clip we played was interesting. Just because, one, it's very like Deion Sanders quote already. But what was funny to me with the, hey, practice brawl, Colorado offense, defense going at it, him calling it, hey, I saw you walk out, saw you walk off, one of us fights. We all fight.
We have the same rules at Raymar.
I know you want practices to be intense, and you want competition between your team, but wouldn't you still rather there just not be brawls at practice? That seems more could go wrong than what you earn from them. Like, the positives that you can pull, like, yeah, way to step up, you know, for your teammate that was getting pushed around. Well, your other teammate was the one who was pushing him around. Like, that just seemed silly.
Yeah, on a whole bunch of different levels.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe
nonsensical.
I'm not a football coach. Never have been. But I guess that might be jumps into the, you know, we're building a culture here, a culture of, you know, we're fights. All to, no, a culture. we're all together and we got each other's back and all that. Again, you make a great point about, well, the guy that you wanted him to fight is also your teammate. Mm-hmm. But he's on the other side of the ball. I mean, doesn't that scream like separation between the offense and defense? Yeah. I mean, I just don't know.
And don't even get the special teams going. They'll just kick you.
What are they going to do?
Hey. Kickers and punters are players too.
Slap fight.
Wow.
Have you ever seen the video of Andre Rison and Deion Sanders like getting into slap fight? I mean, so. They're just like, they're split out wide to the left, if I remember correctly. And Deion's playing for the Falcons, and Rison, who had like the best Berman nickname, Andre Bad Moon Rison, was playing for the Colts, and he was a stud during that time. And I know I'm talking about a player that you three have never seen play because you're all, you know, very much younger than me. But they get in clearly it was something that was building up, but Rison just steps off the line, just like one step forward, cross the line of scrimmage, and punches Deion, and the two of them just start wailing on each other, right, just standing there at the line of scrimmage with helmets on, of course, so nobody's head hurt, but their hands probably did.
So,
but
so stupid.
It was hilarious. It's one of my favorite ones ever.
Gosh, who was the I'm blanking on the Titans cornerback who tried to fight Andre Johnson and punch him with his helmet on? Which, first of all, why are you trying to fight Andre Johnson? He was a giant of a human being and was just towering over that person. The I get heat of the moment, but and it's happened a lot where we can go back and see a bunch of examples of this. But the I'm a football brawl and I'm going to punch you in your helmet. The thing used to protect your head is the dumbest thing in the world. At least go for like a different body part, like go for a rib shot or something. Hit him in the arm. It'll do more damage and less to your hand.
Yep.
Damage can still be done with the helmet on. Just
okay, unless unless you're Doug Brooks fighting Brennan.
Yeah. I have to admit, I'm watching the highlights of it now. I was wrong on both teams. Both guys had moved on. Primetime had moved on to the 49ers, and Ryzen actually had moved from the Colts to the Falcons. So,
yeah. Double wrong.
Double wrong. Mm-hmm. But they did have a little slap fight. It was pretty funny.
Boy, speaking of the Colts, you know what's interesting? And this is a – probably no one really cares about the Colts out here, understand, but they have Anthony Richardson named officially QB1. He's a part of that rookie class that I'm very – I'm intrigued for and I'm rooting for just because it seems like they're being pretty undervalued, and maybe everyone's going to be right, and there's not a lock franchise quarterback in this draft. And – part of it, too, is you look at, like, the next draft. I think everyone is very much excited about it. And you have already Caleb Williams, like, being compared to Patrick Mahomes, which can we not compare people to the best player in the sport until they get there? Like, that is just ludicrous. And people do that. Like, anyone that you've ever heard, this is the next Michael Jordan, and soon you'll hear this is the next LeBron James, is ridiculous, because all of those players are one of one, and it doesn't matter how good that player may be the next face of the league. They're not going to be that player. I just think that those comparisons are stupid. But you have a Caleb Williams, have like a Drake May coming out, all of these guys that you feel like you could go draft late in the top 10, and depending on the needs in front of you, you could find your guy and be set. So I'm rooting for this class, but Anthony Richardson maybe getting the most slight out of them. Question why the Colts went with him over Levis. Probably because Levis was going to be drinking mayonnaise coffee in the Colts building if they drafted him. And, you know, one-year starter at Florida, and it's a tool-slash-measurements type pick that are off the charts for him. But I get it wasn't just outstanding over there in his 1 year as a starter. But the Colts are so interesting because, I mean, since Andrew Luck, I knew it's been bad, but since for Andrew Luck, they've had a different quarterback starting every single year.
For game one?
Yes. That is horrible. Now, they committed a little bit to the, you know, Phillip Rivers and the Matt Ryan. We know we've only got this guy for a year. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's his last year will be a special one. But they've done it to themselves.
Sure.
It's just interesting how bad it has been since Andrew Luck retired for the Colts.
And how good it was when you went from Peyton to Andrew Luck.
Right, and you had Curtis Painter there for a year in between, and then was immediately back to great quarterback play. It has just been, it's had to be a pull your hair out type. And because then you've had like one of the best running backs in the league. You've had one of the best defenses in the league, and you don't have a quarterback to move the ball. That's got to be like pull your hair out angering to have been a Colts fan over the past 6 years.
Yeah, I wouldn't feel real good about the situation you're in now, too.
Yeah, and that's the other thing, too. I wonder what's the hope level over there for the fans going to Lucas Oil? Like, is it we're nervous, but at the same time, maybe you do hit on Anthony Richardson. Maybe he does take off. I'll say this, though, too. It's rooting for that class. And if you go specifically to Richardson, still, again, I guess you can put me in this conversation because I'm not expecting a bunch. Just as a whole, I've got questions about C.J. Stroud. I've got questions about Bryce Young over in Carolina. And part of that is, can they even protect him enough where he will be able to develop into a good quarterback? Because we've talked about this part of it, too. I mean, great players are going to be great anywhere, but they can certainly be helped by the landing spot and by the coach.
Sure.
And I'm just not sure on any of those places between C.J. Stroud at Houston, Bryce Young over in Carolina.
Not the ideal situation.
No.
Right? Not what Patrick Mahomes stepped into in Kansas City.
Right. So, yeah. It is the bottom line, 100.7 score, 107thescore.com. One more with us when we come back. We will have the most interesting fact of the day. This on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. That's why prairie dogs attack Jamie's car. Stale fries.
Well, Jamie, if you fight a prairie dog, I'll join you. We'll all join you. We'll all.
One of us fights a prairie dog. We all fight a prairie dog.
Amen.
You, Will and Clint, I saw walking over away to the parking lot, not fighting the prairie dogs. Where else in the country do they not band together and fight prairie dogs? Mm. Tell me where.
Clint actually had his phone out, trying to put it on TikTok.
It's true.
Mm-hmm.
It's true.
While listening to Spotify.
Yelling World Star for some reason. It's the bottom line 100.7 score. Back.
This has been the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score. Go to 100-7thescore.com for more from the Double T Sports Network.